Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
With all due respect, and remember, I'm saying with all due respect.
Here with Nick Wilson.
I am America's sports talk show host. Hear me roar.
Stan Norfleet here.
Hey, it was just a misunderstanding.
No, it ain't.
Oh, bleep you. Get off my...
Bye, Gomez.
Bye, Gomez, right. To both of you.
Do I detect some kind of sarcasm here?
Never.
Final 10 seconds tick off. Two teams head to midfield. A lot of friendships and relationships will be rekindled. Final score from Uptown Charlotte, Washington 27, Carolina 21.
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. The show is back. Happy Panther Monday to you. Well, to some of you. We've got Will Kunkel of Fox 46. He'll be joining us at 11:20. We've also got to get to Bill Bender, the college football sporting news senior columnist there. We'll get his thoughts on the weekend in college football. But as we've said, it is a Panther Monday. Good Panther Monday to you out there in listener land. Good Panther Monday to you, Stan Norfleet.
Nicholas, good morning to you.
Went full name today. Okay.
Itty bitty fitty. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Staniel.
Metro Lina. Good morning. I find myself feeling a little some type of way.
I knew it. I called it when I talked with Itty Bitty Fitty on the phone this morning. I can't allow you or anyone else to do what I know, what I heard Chris McClain do this morning, what I heard, what I guarantee I'm going to hear from Willie Panic today in the afternoon, in for Bailey. I'm not struggling with yesterday's game.
It's a Panthers Monday, and yes, we are struggling with yesterday's game.
No, I'm not.
No, Nick, stop
you
this.
You can.
No, we're not doing this.
Yes,
no,
we are.
No, no,
that's
no,
exactly
no.
what we're
Nick,
doing.
No, you're
that
not.
That is 100%
no.
what we are doing.
You are not going to curtail what took place over there yesterday afternoon.
Have I softened the blow on any loss this year? No.
No?
No, as a matter of fact.
I can't accuse
I'm
you
pretty
of that.
Sure I went, and before I went to the happiest place in the friggin' world, all right, after the New England loss, I leveled the boom. All right, I walked in, slapped it on the table, and I called names. All right, I put it on Sam.
Hold on.
I put it on Rule.
Just leave it off the table.
I put it on the table.
I'll leave it off.
Yes, everybody in the doghouse saw it getting on the table. But that is not what is required from today. Were there some absolutely inexcusable things that happened yesterday? Is there a narrative that continues to evolve about this season, about this organization? Absolutely. But if you had told me that in Cam Newton's homecoming, for a guy who we didn't know if he was going to get 50% of the snaps or more, we were guaranteed one snap. Matt Rhule gave us one snap on the homecoming on Friday.
Would you stop it?
All right. And for him to go out there and play as well as he did, do you know why I'm feeling a little bit better today, guys? Because I don't have massive questions about the quarterback position for at least this week. That is in such a different spot than we've been when I've had to juggle from Sam Slappy behind to P.J. Walker, Phillip, to those who know him, who I can't have an opinion on because people get mad at me, but to Phillip Walker, to Cam Newton, for Cam to look that good. 10 days into him learning the offense, him being back in town. I think that's the big takeaway from yesterday. My biggest takeaway from yesterday. That's why I'm not tripping today.
The biggest takeaway yesterday for me, Cam Newton played about as good as Cam Newton can play. That's it. And some people will jump on, well, he got sacked to end the game. All right, the offensive line has been an issue.
So he has to block for himself, too?
Yeah, the offensive line has been an issue all year. We know that. On that particular play, I don't put that on Cam exclusively. We'll get back to that. Yesterday, I thought Phil Snow got his bleep handed to him by Scott Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Turner gave Phil Snow the absolute business from an offensive to defensive game plan.
Let's stay on the Cam thing, because we have all show to burn on the defense, and I'm right there with you. There is plenty to get into why this defense continues to have these kind of games when they start to have them. But Cam Newton's stats yesterday, 21 of 27 for 189 yards, two touchdowns, and then another touchdown on the ground. Offensively,
what did he run for? Running. Cam Newton, 10 carries, 46 yards, and a TD, 4.6.
I understand that people are sick of losing here. And by the way.
And losing at home.
And losing at home. That's also.
How many home losses?
They're now 2-4 on the home on the season.
Oh, my God.
All of that is fair. But I looked at yesterday as the beginning of the rest of this season. I can't focus on the New England loss, even though there are things that are absolutely the penalties, the third down issues, right? Whatever the bleep that was defensively. There are absolutely through lines between those other losses. But guys, I have hope today that the offense can actually keep them in games.
We're not doing that. No, Nick. No.
What are we not doing?
Yes, I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Newton played well. I don't have an issue with Christian McCaffrey. By the way, no carries for Chuba Hubbard yesterday. I thought that was weird. Christian McCaffrey, 10 carries, 59 yards. Christian McCaffrey, 8 targets. Christian McCaffrey touched the ball 18 times yesterday. Okay. This wasn't about the offense.
No, but see, I think it can be about both things. Everybody, listen, if you guys want to rain fire on the defense's third bad performance this season, and we can get into why they struggled.
Fourth, New England.
Are they still top 10 in the NFL?
Fourth. I don't give a damn about that.
That's exactly what we should care about, the defense on the aggregate.
No.
The defense sucks all.
No, the defense doesn't suck. The defense didn't play well yesterday, and mm-hmm. It's okay to say yesterday, I don't give a damn what you're ranked. Yesterday, a team decided an inferior opponent with Taylor Heineke at quarterback decided they were going to run the ball down your throat. And when we do play action and bootleg and sprint out, we're going to throw to one dude. His name is McLaurin. He caught 5 balls for 103 and a TD. That's 20.6 per. What, like?
You want to say it. You want to say it. Say the fleetism.
What are we doing?
704.
What are we doing with that?
704-570-9610. I want to hear from you guys on the text line today, or at Nick Wilson says, at Stan Sportsman on the Twitter machine. I want to know, what is your focus from yesterday's game? Because both things can be true, by the way.
I know you want to talk about Cam, and that's the segment we need to talk about Cam.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was a storyline.
Yes. I was asking them, though, what are they focusing on? Is it the offensive side of the ball, or is it the defensive? What are you more focused on?
How can anybody leave the stadium?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we got to do something about letting out. So you and I didn't have a post-game show yesterday, so I left with the mass.
Mm-hmm. Do we not have problems with the way people leave the game?
Like, what? Why is there not more the egress trying to get up out of there? What is going on? Now, maybe I was just in a bad mood. I don't know.
I can't do this.
So, right. Okay.
I can't have Cam Newton, who is put in a position to play, like, how many quarterbacks could play 100% of the snaps 10 days after signing and play as well as Cam played yesterday and have one of the best offensive performances? And they weren't perfect. That's not what I'm trying to say. But that was as reasonably well as Cam Newton could play.
I'm talking about
the egress.
Listen, when you lose.
What are we doing here? I got to hit you with your own fleetism.
When we lose.
Everything's
getting magnified.
Everything sucks.
Yeah.
No one can coach.
The parking on the way into the stadium. I had an issue.
It's raining today.
I had an issue.
It's raining today, and that's all the fault because they lost yesterday?
I'm trying to get on the elevator to come down to do the media scrum, and there's David Tepper with his wealthy bleep, and his wife is getting on there. They held up traffic like he was getting on. What's the helicopter call for the president?
So now you have a problem with David Tepper being a $12 billion man?
No, what's the helicopter call for the Marine One? They held up the elevator so that he could get on Marine One.
They do that every week.
I don't give a bleep. I was pissed, and I deserve to be pissed. What was that? And I'm not mad at Cam. Yesterday was not about Cam.
Well, no.
The loss was not on him.
And to be fair, I don't put a lot on Joe Brady. I know a lot of people, the big thing is, well, how much did he throw down the field yesterday? Let's remember, they're still implementing an offense with him. And by the way, he had a great play. That Christian McCaffrey touchdown, which was...
That was an excellent
throw. They sent everyone.
Yeah.
He did have that throw.
The touch and the arc on the ball, cool.
But whether it was the play calling on the final drive, they turned the ball over on downs the final two drives of this game.
That is correct.
Or whether it was even some of the play calling early in the game, I think in some ways Joe Brady was hamstrung. And the Carolina Panthers were in a tough spot. I think you do have to give them this credit, even though there are very real things we can talk about yesterday's game. Cam Newton was clearly hot early on. Cam Newton was making plays. So do you disrupt his personal rhythm to put in P.J. Walker, who knows more of the offense, or do you stick with a guy who overall is the more talented player and who's playing as reasonably well as you can expect it? I think they made the right decision. I know it sucks that they lost. I can't tell you that I enjoyed the loss.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the homecoming, and we'll continue to use this phrasing, went as reasonably well as can be expected. And going forward, and I'm not trying to turn this into a defensive conversation. I'm just trying to put the two things against each other. The defense in 11 games, I say they've had three really bad performances. You say they've had four. Well, that's the best the offense has played. When you factor in all, like Cam Newton, 10 days ago wasn't playing football in the NFL. And he went up there for the first time, having 5 days of practice, 6 days of practice, up against a team that has been playing. The Washington football team has been playing for 4 months, 3 months.
Neat.
And he went out there and he put you in a position to win. The fact you didn't, everybody should feel good about where this team is heading down the stretch now because of that offensive performance. The defense can have better games.
Taylor Heineke beat them yesterday.
I'm aware. I also watched the game.
That's a problem. You said it. Two things can be true. Cam played well. I don't have an issue with Cam Newton.
The offense played well.
No, the protection was some crap. But
okay.
By and large.
Minus the offensive line.
Right. One half of the offense. Right. The offensive line was some trash yesterday. That's fine. Dennis Daly left the game with he had an injured butt. No, literally. Dennis Daly had an injured butt.
That's so not what it says on the.
No, it does. It says he has an injured butt. And then.
He has a hurt dumper. That's what it says on the injury report.
Listen. So then here comes Brady Christensen at left tackle. But it was really more so the interior. Stop me if we've been here before. Panthers offense with Cam Newton at quarterback.
You were just set to drive this thing right into the...
6 and 13 were the... I'm sorry. 2 of 9 on third down. That's not great. 1 of 3 on fourth down. No, that's not great. Now, yards per play, 6.1. All right, I'll take that. And it's not about Cam necessarily. Oh, let's go down here to red zone. 1 of 1. Okay, didn't turn the ball over. The Panthers lost the time of possession by 12 minutes. That's almost an entire quarter. Unfathomable. Unfathomable. That's a good call. Good drop by you, Fitty.
704-570-9610. Is the sky burning, as Stan Norfleet would like you to believe?
No, I didn't say the sky burned. I said people didn't play well.
Or do you feel as reasonably well, I'm going to continue to use that, as reasonably well as to be expected?
You're selling a fight on Monday.
No, I'm not selling a fight. I'm telling you I'm not panicking and that I think we should feel better about where the Panthers are in the final six games of the season.
You should feel better about that?
Yes. Yes, you should.
You do know we're going to play quarterbacks better than Taylor Heineke.
I'm not even doing this.
We're going to play running backs better than Gibson.
And they've beaten better quarterbacks than Taylor Heineke.
And they've also lost the quarterbacks.
Thank you very much. Monday Overreaction coming up in just about 30 minutes here. We've also got Will Kunkel at 11:20. We also have Bill Bender, the Sporting News, at 12:20. But what is your reaction to the Panthers' loss? Are you more about the home camming, or are you about the defensive performance? And we've also got to get to Matt Rhule's explanation and what it means for the Panthers on Sports Radio FNZ.
The holding. fumbling calls, obviously. I mean, like the second to last drive, when you asked me about the four minutes left. I mean, we start off, second and two, we're up and running, and we had a holding call by Timo on the right side. So just too many penalties. I mean, the late hit on the quarterback for us. I mean, I couldn't say there's any one common thread. I mean, a lot of those happened up front on the offensive line today, it felt like. So just hard to execute on offense when you get a good play and you think you're second and two and you're actually first and 20. So just not very good right now.
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. That was the expectation, or rather the explanation. I know the difference between those two words. That was the explanation Matt Rhule, Panthers head coach, had for his team's loss at home at the Bank of America Stadium yesterday. In the Panthers, you look at their penalty numbers there. 7 penalties for 65 yards. We've got Monday Overreaction coming up in 20 minutes. And I really am curious, because what Stan and I are both saying is true. And I agree with Stan that the defensive performance yesterday does not cut it on any level. And I would like at some point, a real explanation on how the hell that continues to happen. Because this wasn't the Dallas game. Right, the Dallas game, that is a high-powered offense with a great quarterback, 2 great running backs, phenomenal offensive line. Like, kudos to Dallas. Even the Minnesota team, while that is a young defense in Minnesota, that offensive line has been there for a minute. Dalvin Cook is a stud, and Kirk Cousins can hurt you if you let Kirk Cousins hurt you. This was Washington dissecting you because you couldn't get pressure and you weren't physical enough. But I want to know, what are you more concentrated on a Panther Monday? The offense is surprisingly good performance, or the defense is surprisingly bad performance. Here's the truth of what we got to talk about, Stan. I'll be honest with you. A bad performance by the defense, as bad as it was, isn't as concerning to me as the fact that now, through 11 weeks, Matt Rhule continues to talk about penalty and execution in the second half, and third down problems, both offensively and defensively. All three of those things, Stan, are hallmarks of a poorly coached team. I feel like we finally have a quarterback we can just trust to go out there and give us a chance to win, which we have not had with Sam Darnold for 5 or 6 weeks before the injury. But at some point, Matt Rhule and his staff, when we're talking penalties, 7 for 65 yesterday, including 2 crucial penalties by the brand, Michael Jordan. That's what Matt Rhule referred him to.
False starts, yes.
There was the holding as well, the ridiculous holding up the middle. At some point, we've got to see signs. Third down, the way you approach the second half and penalties, at some point, those things have to go away. Or there's a breakdown between coaching and playing at some point here.
Washington outscored the Panthers 7-0 in the third quarter. Stop me if you've heard this before. There's clearly an issue in the second half in this team. Washington outscored the Panthers in the second half. That's 13-7. You just can't allow inferior opponents. I'm going to call Washington inferior. And by the way, the Washington offensive line just happened to play the best game I think they've played all year yesterday. We'll get to that. You bring into coaching. I'm not mad at Joe Brady. I think Joe Brady called an adequate game yesterday.
I would bump it up from adequate given the context. But I agree with you. I think the conversation starts at adequate to Phil Snow.
Phil Snow got his bleep handed to him yesterday. Phil Snow had no answers. They were on their heels all day. They allowed Washington on third down. Washington was 6 of 13. What is that? Slightly less than 50%.
What's crazy about the defense?
Two of two on fourth down, by the way.
And I do want to continue to harp on the coaching, because I think the defense has had more good performances than they have bad. We have to ask why they continue to happen in this scenario. I think there's a fairly obvious answer at this point that we'll get to. But what has been completely cattywampus the entire season has been the coaching. Joe Brady has had some moments where he's been outcoached and outclassed.
Clearly.
Matt Rhule, quite frankly, in terms of situational football, Ron Rivera outcoached him yesterday in the second half.
Were you mad? Why you write down Matt Rhule? Don't lose your point. Were you mad at Matt Rhule for the fourth down, the first one?
Are you talking about
the going for it? Yeah, the decision.
I was only mad because he burned a timeout. So he hears the boos from the fans. Was that Matt Rhule catering to the fans? What changed his mind? I would have liked to know.
But it was a stoppage in the clock, and then you come out of there and call timeout.
Yeah,
I didn't understand that.
So that was a little bit infuriating. But I think that's my bigger concern. I think they're talented defensively. I think it might be as simple as they're just look at the through line. Washington, their offensive line did some things yesterday that Dallas's offensive line was able to do.
That's what they watched. They watched the tape on Dallas and Minnesota.
They were able to get their big physical road graders into the second level. And by the way, let's put that a little bit on Derek Brown and Daquan Jones. Because that's your one job. We don't ask you to get after the quarterback. Your one job is to protect the linebackers, and they did not do that yesterday.
And I'm going to get on Shaq Thompson and Jermaine Carter Jr. They did not feel the alley on the run support collectively. Too many missed tackles by the secondary when you force the run to go out to the perimeter where Dante and Jeremy Chin and those guys have to come up in the secondary and make tackles. They didn't do that yesterday. Too many missed tackles. There was a concentrated effort in the interior of the Panthers' defensive line. And look, I pointed out to Mac and the guy. We were sitting up there in the booth, and I'm pointing out to Mac. I said, watch Brian Burns on this play. Brian Burns got blown out the ball 6 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that can't happen. You can't just rush the pass in this league.
But I also think, because while I agree with you, and this happened in a few games, it's happened to Brian Burns more than it's happened to Hassan Reddick, if we're going to be fair.
That's fair.
For the guy that we've talked about, Brian Burns, we got to pay this guy.
By the way, we do have to pay Hassan Reddick.
100%.
That's happening.
But there has to be the consistency angle with Spider Burns has to come around at some point. But I'll put it all the way back to this is on Phil Snow. This is on the coaching staff. That is the one. I'm not willing to set fire to the defense for a lot of things, even though I know there are a lot. I'm not willing. I'm clearly more focused on the offense than I am the defense for the performances yesterday. But this is now the third time. When Dallas did it, oh, man, that's really talented.
That was kind of new. That was the first time I was like, oh.
Even okay. Minnesota. Let's be honest about that Minnesota offense. They got one young guy on that offense, and it's Justin Jefferson. Everybody else, Dalvin Cook's been in the NFL 5 years. Adam Thielen has been in the NFL for 5 or 6 years.
But those are still veterans.
And Kirk Cousins is a veteran. A lot of their offensive line is veterans.
They did start a rookie at left tackle in there, so.
But most of their offensive line is veterans. Mm-hmm. I can handle that. This is an inferior opponent coming in. And what it's not that it happened. It's that it happened and that Phil Snow didn't have a counter to it.
By the way,
he's now seen it for going into the second half. He had seen it for 10 quarters. He had seen Dallas do it for 4 quarters. He had seen Minnesota do it for 4 quarters. Mm-hmm. We can make an argument that he saw.
I'm going to say Philly in the second half.
Philly
I'm
going to
say New
half.
England.
So, we've seen this happen before. And the fact that Phil Snow, who I think has been the MVP of this coaching staff, he's been the guy that I trust more than anyone. The fact that he doesn't have a counter to that with how versatile this defense is, with how fast this defense is, with how physical they have played at points.
No, they have played physical at points this year.
They just haven't been consistent.
This is a finesse defense, and the book is out. If you want to beat the Carolina Panthers defense, you run the ball at their face. And me and Eugene Robinson were sitting in the press box yesterday. We were having the same conversation. Eugene Robinson, former safety of the Carolina Panthers, y'all know that.
Any other names you want to drop there?
No, I was just giving some credence to I'm not alone as a former defender in thinking.
You started with McClain and then you went to Eugene. I was just wondering.
Chris McClain is a name drop?
Yeah, that's like a gateway name drop. Continue.
I can't allow that to happen. This is a finesse defense. I'm not calling them soft. There's a difference. This is a finesse defense. And when teams have decided we're going to punch you, Phil Snow does not have a counter. And listen, I don't care that they played 65 plays last night or yesterday afternoon to the Panthers 49. When you give up 5.7 yards per play in this league, what were the yards per carry? yards per pass, 7.2 to that offense? How many times did you hear me bring up Charles Leno Jr. in the offseason? Did he look better at left tackle than our dude?
Well, no. Brady Christensen looked really good.
He didn't look better than Charles Leno.
Charles looked good.
Nah, I'm just not there. 50%, 3 of 6 in the red zone for touchdowns were the Washington football team. Nick, it wasn't good enough yesterday. So I understand what you're doing. You're saying, hey, don't overreact to one loss.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying I'm overreacting. I think it's a proper reaction. We're going to do that coming up. It's a proper reaction because we now have demonstrated throughout the course of the season inferior opponents come into this building and in spite of what the offense does. And the offense didn't hurt them yesterday. The defense has allowed inferior opponents to get yards and points. That's mm-hmm. a problem.
Is the defense been more good than bad this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Have they been good enough? Question for you.
Yes.
No, they haven't.
Yes, they have.
No, not they have. Not with that yesterday.
Well, not yesterday. That's not what you asked. They said, has the defense been good enough?
Was it good enough against Philly?
The reality is it should have been good enough against
Philly. Was it good enough against Minnesota?
Look at all of those games where your quarterback at the time gave you no chance to win in most of those games. Like, that is where that is the biggest thing about yesterday that was so concerning was, I mean, outside of the four drives from the first touchdown to the next touchdown for Carolina, they gave you a chance. That offense gave you a chance to win yesterday. The real difference to me between this loss and most of the losses is for most of the losses this year, the quarterback has not given you a chance to win. As a matter of fact, he's actively sabotaged your ability to win. And the defense has had to try to make good with no help. The defense had every opportunity to win that game. And again, I'll go back to, you have one of the fastest and most versatile defenses in the NFL up front.
It doesn't matter if you can't stop the run.
No. I agree. But where was that? Derrick Brown and Daquan Jones should be able to do that. That should be the one thing you should count them on to do.
Those two specifically should be better. Now, they would say, wait a minute, they're going to double team one of us. Okay, I would say, well, what about the other one? And then the linebacker fits. Last two drives of the Washington football team, not counting the end of game, two plays to be done. 12 plays, field goal. Okay, they came right back. 5 plays, 23 yards, field goal. They surrendered points on the final two drives. You can't allow that.
704-570-9610. Want to hear from you guys today. It is a Panther Monday. What are you more focusing on? Are you more focusing on the defensive letdown or the home camming and his performance? Again, the underlying thing here is through 11 games, I still don't know if Matt Rhule and his staff can coach because the places that we look to, penalties, third down.
Third quarter
and second half.
Red zone.
That we look for proof of coaching, we've seen this team shrink from or disappear from, and that happened again yesterday in the loss to Washington. Monday overreaction should be a good one. That's next on Sports Radio FNC. Sports Radio FNC, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. My Deke deflation coming up in about 20 minutes here.
Oh, you have low D?
Oh, no. It's still quite inflated. It's just you will pull the pin out and beep. Is that what it happens? Is that what it sounds like when a balloon pops?
The balloon. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that the...
Beep.
I don't know.
That's what that sounds like. So we'll get to that in about 20 minutes. Will Kunkel in 40 minutes. But it is time for Monday Overreaction. Send in your hot takes from the weekend. We'll grade it as an overreaction, underreaction, proper reaction. I'm going to start with my guy, Chad Harris, saying Daquan Jones is trash. He's been MIA all season, doing nothing but cashing game checks. Stan, is that an overreaction, underreaction, proper reaction?
Chad and I are beefing right now. Most of the time, I ignore him on the text line.
Can you pull the beef out of this and just be subjective, or is the beef included? Where's the beef?
No, listen. Daquan has been inconsistent. There have been some moments he's been really good. Him and Derrick Brown together, they both are having an issue. And when you try and back them up with Bravion Roy.
Don't you do that to Bravion.
That's not the answer. But Daquan specifically.
I think Bravion's been one of their better players. I think he's been more consistent in the role he's been.
Has he been better? Bravion's not better than Daquan, so we're not doing that.
Daquan has not played as well at his role as Bravion.
Is Bravion better than Daquan?
That's not how I'm framing it.
But I'm asking the question.
Bravion has been better in his role.
I'm asking the question.
Yes.
Is Bravion Roy is not better than Daquan Jones?
Yes.
That's crazy. There's no GM in the league that will say that.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Gosh.
Not a single one.
I care about all those.
That's great. Yeah, the guys that put the guys out there for a living?
No. Yeah.
So listen, has Daquan underwhelmed? I am surprised that he has not shown up the way he did at Tennessee consistently, to your point.
So that's a yes.
No,
that's a proper reaction.
It's not a proper
reaction.
It's an overreaction.
But yes.
It's an overreaction.
It's a slight overreaction because I remember Daquan having a couple. Like when he says guy has been MIA all season, I don't agree with that.
That's the overreaction.
But the problem is, in the games where we need him the most, in the Dallas game, he got moved every which way. The Minnesota game, when Derek Brown was getting bounced around up the middle, where was Daquan? Getting bounced around up the middle as well. Maybe Phil Snow isn't putting him in the best position to succeed. I'll leave the door open there. Daquan has been a disappointment, as has Derek Brown, if we're being 100% fair. Let's continue on here. Send in your hot takes on the text line. Ooh. All right, from the text line, 207, Cam Newton will be the starting quarterback next year.
Why are we doing this? I'm going to say that's an overreaction. I think Dave Tepper still has the hots for Deshaun Watson. So I don't know that. No, I'm not saying Deshaun is likely, but I do know that's a thing for him.
I think it's an overreaction only because it's one game. It was a good game. It was 10 snaps against Arizona, and then it was 100% of the snaps against Washington. But I do think if Cam can replicate that performance from yesterday with a couple extra throws down the middle, I would rather have him than have to try and choke down another 17 games of Sam.
Yeah, we're not doing Sam again.
The slappy Darnold.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
I'm very grumpy about that. All right. So I was listening to the morning show today, and Dabone Sweeney, that's my nickname now for T-Bone Hancock, he put this hot take out into the ether.
A bad year for Clemson. They're 8-3, beat South Carolina 9 wins, so they could have a win their bowl game. A bad year for Clemson could still result in 10 wins. And does that? This is going to sound crazy, but with them being 6-2 in the conference, like Dabo, ACC Coach of the Year talk, like is that possible?
ACC Coach of the Year.
They're 6-2 in the conference.
They started number 2 in the country. They're 6-.
Who's?
They're 8-3.
Massive overreaction. I don't understand how we've done this yo-yo. Clemson is still a massive, and I mean massive, disappointment in the ACC, regardless of whatever they did to Wake Forest on Saturday.
I told you this, what was that, a few weeks ago?
And it was a Wednesday overreaction when you had the take.
Clemson is 8-3 with losses to the number 1 team in the country, the number 17 team in the country, and a 2 overtime loss to another team on the road. Clemson should be ranked. I told you that.
God, I love you, I told you, radio.
It wouldn't surprise me if they won. They won convincingly at home, albeit. So I'm with Bone. If, and it won't happen, but if Clemson makes their way to Charlotte to play for a championship, given all of the circumstances surrounding the program, injuries, transfer, the loss to Georgia, we know that, DJ's not playing well, all of that, add it all up, Dabo should be coach of the year. In the conference.
That's an overreaction.
No. Hell no. Hell no.
I didn't realize the last hell no was coming. Florida firing Dan Mullen. Overreaction, underreaction, proper reaction.
Massive overreaction.
Yeah. Florida.
I don't know. What are you doing?
Listen, I can't defend Dan Mullen against top 25 teams, but I also will say last year during a pandemic, he had them finish first in their division, in a loaded SEC. And this is how you get to be Miami. This is how you get to be Texas. where you fire good coach after acceptable coach, which is what Jim McElwain was, after good coach, you fire, well, okay, Will Muschamp was just a coach, but you fire coaches for every different reason. You justify it time after time. Eventually, it catches up with you. This is 100%. Texas firing Tom Herman led to this season with Steve Sarkisian.
So let me get this straight. They're going to fire a man, first year on the job, 10 wins, won the Peach Bowl, second in the East. Next year, 11 wins, won the Orange Bowl. By the way, finishing top 7 in the country, AP final voting, 7, 6, 13 last year. And you're firing this man. This is stupid.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Who are you getting that's better than Tom Herman?
I like Billy Napier a lot.
I'm sorry, than Dan Mullen.
I like Billy Napier a lot.
He's not a better coach than Dan Mullen.
Well, he's never coached at the Power Five. So you're getting rid of a guy who had proven success at Mississippi State, who's had success where you are, for a guy who's literally never been a head coach in the Power Five.
7th in the country, 6th in the country, 13th in the country, and you're firing him.
All right, this one is from yesterday. Again, if you're just joining us, it's time for Monday Overreaction. Send in your hot takes on the text line. 704 number saying, if the Panthers miss the playoffs, Matt Rhule will get fired.
Massive overreaction.
I think it's an overreaction because I don't think Matt Rhule's getting fired.
No, not after year two.
I still think there's a chance Matt Rhule leaves. I think, especially as coaching issues continue to pile up. Yesterday, it was penalties. It was third down. It was all the same
bleep
that
it's been.
Clock management again. I think there's a point where if they continue to lose, and we're talking because it's of coaching, things that are coachable that aren't getting fixed, I could see Matt Rhule saying, you know what? I gave it a go. I really tried. But I'm not reaching these guys the way I need to.
Matt Rhule's not leaving $10 million a year.
For $10 million a year in coaching?
Why would you leave an easier lifestyle in NFL coaching to go back to college?
Because you're better suited. You're better suited for the kind of game.
That man's wife is not going to allow him to leave a cushy job like an NFL head coach at $10 million a year. No way.
Matt Rhule, it's a cushy job for another cushy job.
This job's easier.
All due respect to Mel Tucker. Mel Tucker, who hasn't really, has only got, 3 years as a Power 5 coach, got 10-year, $95 million. I could see Matt Rhule getting more than that if he went to USC or LSU or Florida's open or Washington's open.
LSU doesn't have money. USC doesn't have money.
LSU does have
money. They don't have money. The state is broke, Nick.
Yeah, but the football department isn't.
Okay, we'll debate the finances another time. Matt Rhule will be the head coach of the Carolina Panthers in 2022.
Taylor Heinicke is a starting quarterback in the NFL.
He's a slappy. Stop this. Not massive. It's an overreaction. Oh, no, you said he's a starter. Yeah, overreaction.
Monday overreaction, 704-570-9610.
Are you saying he is a starter?
No, I'm saying you're a Monday overreaction right now.
How am I?
Your energy, your aura. I get it. You're the opposite of Big Dick energy. You're here
to shatter the dreams of the people. How did that not make it into this segment?
Because it's going to be its own segment coming up in about 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. We have to spend significant time here.
But it is Monday overreaction. Hornets are a top 6 seed in the Eastern Conference.
Overreaction. They've not been consistent enough. Losing streak, winning streak, lose a game you should have won. They aren't playing well to start the game. They're not a top 6 seed right now. Meaning, I don't think they are legitimate top 6 seed. They're a playing team right now.
I think they are literally a top 6. They're 6 in the East right now.
They're a playing team.
And I believe they are a top 6 seed. I think you're putting the kind of emphasis on the Hornets that I think we should reserve for the super teams, the NBA.
Oh, stop this.
It's far too early to be this critical of it. It's fair to look at them and say that they need to start games better. It's fair to say
their
big problems. I'm explaining what I'm talking about. I thought I was making it pretty clear.
They've been hard from the free throw line. Hard.
Do they have more wins than losses?
Oh, is that the... Yeah. Nick, stop this.
Are they literally the 6th best team in the East right now?
They've beaten the Warriors, the Nets, and the Wizards. All teams ahead of them.
And who have they lost to?
What's their worst loss?
Who?
The Kings.
Are we watching the games? What are we doing here?
They're 10-8.
Did we watch even in a victory on Friday night? Did we see they surrendered a 25-point lead or no?
Did they win? It's November, buddy. Whew, my Lord. From the text line, 502 number, UNC will miss the tournament. That is a massive overreaction.
Oh, that's a massive overreaction.
That's an overreaction, but when is it time to question if a coach can actually coach?
No, we're not doing that.
That's a Monday overreaction.
We're not doing that with Hubert Davis.
Matchup, the Purdue matchup was just a bad matchup. And
Purdue's
thank
a good
you.
Team.
No, they're one of the – they're a great team. And a bad matchup on top of it. I understand you're still upset about the Tennessee loss. I'm going to need you to reel it in. It's five games.
All I was just asking was leaning on y'all's experience in the industry. Like, when is it okay to question, like, okay, we're in, what, 27, 28 games of Matt Rhule, and you're still questioning him. Mm-hmm. So, in college basketball, it's only five games for Hubert Davis.
Okay, five.
But you haven't made adjustments in four games. So, when are we allowed to question his ability to coach or not?
Five games.
Can we make it to 10 games?
Can we get to conference play?
That's what I'm asking. What is the barometer?
Let's do this again when he gets to conference
play. That is Monday overreaction in its peak. Itty bitty fitty off the top on Hubert Davis there. But we have plenty to get to. And my Deke deflation, as the king of big demon Deacon energy, it is upon us next on Sports Radio FNZ.